Let's open our Bibles today to Proverbs 3:6. We're going to do Proverbs 3:6 in two different translations, and I'm going to read you Jeremiah 6:16. And we're going to talk about friends have favor. Amen. Friends have favor. Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Here's the Passion Translation. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he'll lead you wherever you go. Now, did you notice it said whatever you do? Whatever you do, just be intimate with him. Be his friend. You as spirit-filled people won't be challenged by what I'm going to say here, but I'll tell you, you can have some wonderful experiences with God during your prayer time, during your meditation time, heavenly visions, heavenly times when God is thinking with you, fun. He'll be silly with you. Jesus is laughing all the time. I love what Jessie said. She said she went into a room and forgot what she's going to get. She said, "Lord, why I come in here?" And he said, "I don't know." He's like that. I think a lot about heaven. I always have since my parents were there. I've kind of experienced what Virginia's children are experiencing. They're still young, and my parents left early. And so I think about heaven a lot, and I use my imagination like you're supposed to. I see myself there. I see myself talking to Jesus. Not that I want to go there right now, but I always see myself there. And I'll find, he that hath an ear, if you can take this, I'll find that as I'm dreaming along, thinking about him, he'll take those thoughts over, and all of a sudden I'll have a flash of something. Wow. And, of course, that's not new to charismatic Christians. I had a good one. You want to hear it? We'll just tell the whole world about it. So my heavenly home's not far from the beach. And I always drop down on the beach when I get there. And I have Horse, as you all know. He does not have a name yet because I'm not allowed to know. But he comes to see me on occasions. And I see Jesus when I'm there sometimes in my heavenly dreams and my heavenly visions. And I'm not telling you I leave my body. I'm telling you that it's a vision in my thinking. Mm-hmm. And I had the most unusual thing happen to me. I was, you'll enjoy this, standing on the beach. I look down there, and there's Horse and someone sitting on his back. And that horse and that person comes running to me, running. And they run by, and I go like this. They grab me up and put me on the back of the horse and continue running, like in the movies. And the horse stops, and Jesus turned around and looked at me and said, "I always wanted to do that."
I love it. I love it.
And that was the end of the vision. Now, if that's too big for you, grow up. Because Jesus is fun. And, you know, we've been taught, think with God. Well, I don't see anything like that. Well, raise your sights a little bit. Meditate on the Word. I'm not looking for angels and stuff like that. I'm not going to give the enemy any room. But in my thinking, I see heaven quite a bit in my prayer times and stuff. And I pray you will too. I know Brother Johnson and them had real experiences at that out at in Redding at one time. And so, and it's scriptural. Okay, so that was fun. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask which paths are the old, reliable paths. Ask which way leads to blessings. Then live that way and find a resting place for yourselves. I'm going to read it again. This is what the Lord says. So this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask which paths are the old, reliable paths. Ask which way leads to blessings. Live that way and find a resting place for yourselves. Now, in the past few weeks, we've been talking about allowing the Lord to lead us to higher places. And we talked about arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Remember that a few weeks ago? God's calling us to a new level. I want to say just one more thing about that, just to make sure that you're not left with works. I really want you to see this. This is not so much a command, like, you know what, you need to shine. Now get up and shine. No, it's not so much a command to even impart light to others as it is to be encompassed. You know how we just talked about, probably before we went online here, we talked about being in health, in Him, in whom, in Christ, as if you're in Him. Okay? That's what the picture I want you to get here. This is the language of prophecy rather than a command. It's a call, to participate in the light that is shining to impart to others. It's already there for you.
Yes, it is.
Y'all got that?
Amen.
Just walk with me a little further. I think you'll pick it up easy. It's already there, and this is a call to participate in that very thing. When you rise up in light, you can see what's headed towards you, and you can see what you want. We can see and have it. And now here's the reference, Isaiah 64, lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Boy, did I see that happen in my life. My sons came from afar, all the way down from Lockhart, Texas. Some of you. And daughters have come into the house. And you personally are going to see that, and we're all going to see it more.
Yes. Amen.
Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. So the wealth of the world will come to you. So when you step into this light, when you step into the glory, when you step into this realm, you can see what's coming to you, and it will come to you. Why? Because it can see you.
Yes, amen.
See, when you're out here just toiling or, oh, Jesus, I'm going to give him the glory. I'm trying to be in the glory. Just step into it. Just step into the light. Just step into those places. And then what's looking for you will find you. Amen. People and treasures are on their way to you. Well, I don't want either. Well, yes, you do. You want the gospel, don't you? It takes both of those things, people and finance, to do the gospel. So, but see, you don't try to make it happen. You participate in rising light and it draws. Then you and those that you're praying for get God's style of deliverance as opposed to just your style of deliverance. You listen, you're hearing, how does God want to do this? What does God want to do? How does it? And then people get their deliverance the right way. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Participate in the glory. Participate in the moving of the Spirit. Participate in the worship. Participate in the Word. How do you participate in the Word? You hear everybody responding? The womb of their spirit's open. Yes, amen. Yes, that's right. Praise the Lord. They're participating. Sometimes we get quiet because we're trying to listen, and that's okay. But you participate in these things. Take the path of arise and shine. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
So it would be like this. It'd be like this. You choose the path with the sign that said this way to arise and shine. Oh, there's the sign. This way to arise and shine. I'm going to go this way. It's the path I'm going on because this is the way. So you're going to go on that path. You took the path, and then suddenly this carriage comes along and picks you up, and it carries you to new places, and as you're riding in the carriage, all these things are drawn to you, like the Pied Piper. All these things are drawn to you. Because when you get in the vision, you get provision.
Amen.
Things start coming. Can I tell you that when we prayed for your blood pressure to go to normal, you got in the vision and now there's provision happening in your body right now. It's working right now, right now. Your body's functioning right now. So don't go out of here saying, I don't know if I got anything or not. I'm just going to, no, you got it. You got it.
Glory to God.
Get in it. Stay in it. So, we're taking that path. Now, we started talking about favor. And we said that favor is preferential treatment. It denotes acceptance, approval, pleasure. Favor gives you access and favor gives you power. What's surprising to some people is that God does not favor everyone the same. He wants it to be that way, but it requires participation. He doesn't want to leave anyone out. But you have to steward favor. We talked about that. Go back and look in the archives if you need to hear that. But you chart your favor. Yeah, that was favor. Praise the Lord, that was favor. Glory to God, that was favor. We got Astros t-shirts. There's a partner to our ministry. Goes to another church, but they're partners with this church. And he blessed us with Astros shirts and he even gave us a commemorative that you remember when the Cubbies won the World Series, which was, when was it? 16? He gave us this really cool, picture frame with all this stuff in it. And that's favor for us because, you know, we like that kind of stuff. And, so that was favor. So I was just counting favor all week, all sorts of favor, just all sorts of favor, but you chart your favor. Well, look at that. That was favor. Well, look at there. That was favor. Start charting your favor.
Amen.
And thanking God for it. Church, stop blowing up over all the fake news and the politics.
Amen.
You're never going to be happy with what they're blowing and going on.
That is right.
And don't send it to me.
Amen.
You're just making anxiety rise in your own self.
That's true. Preach it.
We know what's going on. Just consider the source.
Yep.
And consider this. We're going to win.
Amen.
We're going to win. No matter what happens Tuesday, we've already won.
Amen.
We've already won because we're kingdom people. We're not just stuck in the system here. We live in the kingdom of God.
We do.
And we can work from the kingdom of God in any situation. Whether it be in Africa, whether it be in Israel, whether it be here in the United States. It's all the same because it's in the kingdom. Well, that's free. I praise the Lord for that, and I hope you took that. So you chart your favor. You recognize when favor happens, and then you live life on a quest for his presence. This would be how you're going to receive favor that you need to receive. Steward your favor by charting it, by recognizing it, and then by getting close to the one who's given it to you. Because I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but usually the people that are closest to you are the ones you favor the most.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Because you're with them all the time. Oh, I know exactly what they like. I'm going to get them this. Oh, okay, you can, you know. Amen. So live life on a quest for his presence, and to have face-to-face encounters with God as a friend. As a friend, you know, like the one who rode by and grabbed me on the horse. And that's a friend. That was a sign to me that I'm his friend. A friend is the highest calling. I hope your husband is your best friend. I hope your wife is your best friend. If you're not married, fine. You have another best friend. But I hope they're your best friend. And I know you have a girlfriend who's your best friend and all that. But your husband's your best friend. That would be wonderful. Amen?
Amen.
You're intimate with them, but there's a friendship there.
Yes.
Fun together.
Amen.
worship together. You can actually pray in tongues with each other, next to each other. Imagine that. Well, my husband doesn't like that. He doesn't want to hear it. Well, become friends.
Yeah. Amen.
The highest position that you can hold with God is friend. In the prophetic world, there are four anatomies of the prophetic. The spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, the office of the prophet, and the friend of God. And friend of God is the highest you can go. Moses was a friend of God. Moses started off with favor. Think about this. Mama put him in a basket, put him down the river. Pharaoh's daughter picks him up. He's raised in the palace. That actually helped with his future because he knew how it was to be noble. He understood some things about that. And so knowing royalty helped him. But then what does he do? He misuses it by killing the Egyptian. You with me? And so he was trying to be the deliverer. But God does not favor self-promotion. So Moses tended sheep for 40 years. And so he's out there tending the sheep, but he obtained favor one day when he walks up to this burning bush. And he looked at the burning bush, and if you recall, I say this to you all the time, he didn't go, woohoo, look at that burning bush, I gotta get home, cause she's over there, she's milking the goat, and we're gonna make some butter, and we're gonna have barbecue today, and we gotta get on home so we can watch Philistines play the Amalekites or something, I don't know. No. He took off his shoes and said, what is this? So he moved in there. He moved in there with God. He found favor with God again. And so he obtained favor at that burning bush. So he turned aside. Once again, I'm going to say it again. He turned aside from his own agenda. And he stepped aside at the burning bush. And what happened? God spoke. If he had gone on, I don't believe the Lord would have said a word. But he said, what are you doing? What is this? Now, the story expands rapidly at this point. God's relationship with him surpasses all the prophets. He becomes a friend of God. God knew Moses face to face, and they became friends. Now, you remember who Aaron is and Miriam. That's his brother and sister. And you remember they decided to be the prophet police. Yeah. And so they're important. They're very important in this story, this true story. And but they almost lost their lives because they dishonored the one who was carrying the most favor. They dishonored him. You know, some of you may not know the story. Most of you know the story that Moses married a woman of color. And they didn't like it, and so they decided to be his judge. Now, if you want to know the answer to the question of what does God think about interracial marriage, what does the Bible say about it, I'm about to tell you right now. You ready? Not one form thing. We're all intermixed.
That's right.
Nothing. And God had nothing against him marrying a woman of color. But they thought they knew something. Okay. So, it didn't work. And listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. There are many self-appointed watchdogs in the body of Christ who have some explaining to do before God. Yeah, they do. And I'll leave that alone. But all the slander, the criticism could be costly if you're judging one of God's friends. Yeah, you get think about your own friend. You don't like it if someone does something to one of your close ones. What'd you say to her? You like that about her? You think about it. Brother Copeland said, I love you. I love every one of you. But if you do anything, touch Gloria Jean, I'm coming after you. Now, you think he's being ungodly? No, 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 he's not. That's how Jesus was and is. Covenant. Don't talk about my friends. Don't talk about the one who has favor on their life. That's what was happening right here. So we want to take the path of friendship with God. We want to be that person. We want to be that person who he favors. And I just want to remind you that there's no word for coincidence in the Bible, in the Hebrew. There's no word for coincidence. And that's because we live in a cause and effect system. I know you've heard me say it 1,000 times. The reason for trouble in someone's life is, you know what? The storms of life come because you make a wrong choice, someone around you makes the wrong choice, and you live in a dark world. You can fix every one of those by the power and word of God. And we won't go into all that, but it's cause and effect. Everything happens. If you take this path, if you go out here, you have a choice at 281, is that the street? Yeah, 281 running that way. If you go left, north, you're going to Burnet. If you go right, you're going to Johnson City. And you can pray all you want to when you turn right that you're going to end up in Burnet. You're not going to end up in Burnet. You're going to Johnson City and on to Blanco. That's just the truth. Well, I don't like that. Can't help you there, except to tell you that you're going to have to just know the truth. There are things that are the truth. And I'll just go ahead and say it because I get it in every message. God is not the cause of your problems. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God is sovereign and he allows it. He sure does. He allows whatever you allow because he gave you dominion. He'll be there to back you up if you speak the word. He'll be there to take care of you if you'll let him. But if you won't let him and you're going to be over in Worryville all the time, you're going to be over in Madville, you're going to be over in Offendedville, you're going to be over there, that's where you're going to live. Well, I don't like that name it, claim it stuff. Well, I'm sorry, but it works. It's been proven over and over. The angel had to shut the mouth of Zechariah or he would have messed up everything, the coming of Jesus being who he was, because John couldn't have been the voice. But John was the voice. He was the voice. I believe he would have been on Blake's team. That was free. Most of y'all are too holy for that. But anyway. All right. Now, God always sets up divine appointments.
Yes.
Along the path that you take. So let's say you get on that path and you're moving along and you're going to meet people. You're going to hear certain words. You're going to see things happen that God is bringing along to bring you into encounters so that he can get you down the trail. If you're sitting in here, we were one of your encounters. And we still are. And the people around you are your encounters. They're your divine appointment. Amen. And so on and so on. So, also, encounters happen as a result of prayer. The miracles we experience, they can be impressive, outstanding, dazzling, but really they're not really designed to dazzle us. They're really given more to train us, so that we can see things differently, so that we can see that we live in a supernatural world. That's what miracles are doing. They're school. They're training. People are like, oh, it was so wonderful. It's just great. You know, I mean, we saw, Margaret in the store, and her legs weren't working right. And the next time we saw her after the store, she was walking straight and good. And it was a miracle. And it came in, she received her healing and good. But that should train us.
Yes.
That should say, this can happen.
Amen.
This is how life should be for us.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right.
So-and-so got healed and look at this. Or man, somebody had a windfall of finance, or they got the job they wanted, or they got the place they wanted, or whatever it is. And it starts flowing in miracles and favor happens. It's school. It's like these miracles are like nutrients from food. And in every situation, every encounter, God comes in with these things. God comes in the encounter giving you the nutrients so to make necessary, to make you strong so that you can be a representative of God. If Margaret got that, then I can get that. If we can speak that, then we can have that. So, church, we need to see the lessons intertwined in our supernatural interventions and favor. We need to see them. Oh, that was favor. Oh, that was good. Oh, that's okay, Lord. Yeah, okay, you're leading me here. You're doing it. And it's all to the glory of God. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Okay? That's about you some. He wants it to be about you, but it's about him. Now, remember, let's talk about this for just a minute. Remember what we said Wednesday night? That repentance is the process of perceiving and coming to agreement with God's perspective. Okay? Repentance is not just that you're sorry for your sins. I know people say that, but repent actually means change your mind. Change your system. Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. What's he saying? I need you to change how you think. You don't have to be in the world system. You can be in the kingdom.
Right.
Change systems. Change systems with your finances. That's when you become debt free. It's a good time to be debt free right now.
Amen.
Well, I'm not there yet. Well, by faith you are.
Amen.
Keep going. Keep going. So a lot of Christians just repent enough to get forgiveness, but they don't repent enough to see the kingdom. They'll go, okay, I'm not going to hell. Glory to God. I'm free. I'm not going to hell. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But then there's all this here on earth for us. And if we operate from there, we can spread this kingdom. We can spread this gospel. We can move forward in it. Yeah, I'll say that. Church, try not to get locked in your mind of, we're spreading the gospel and here we're dun-dun-dun. It's your life. It's in your essence.
Yeah.
What is it you do? I'm with God. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I'm born again Christian. Well, you're so happy all the time. People ask Deb that all the time. Why are you so happy? And they're kind of grouchy about it, you know. She says, I'm in love with this Jewish man, Jesus, you know. Well, she just said, that's my man. So, it's the essence of our life. And then you speak. You speak from what you're living in. More than just, you know, Jesus. You know, Jesus. Now, you know, and you feel guilty if you don't witness to someone. That works. But if you live in him and with him, you can flow and you'll get that unction. Say something to them. I want to tell you something. People are watching you. You don't have any idea who all's watching you. We went to the meeting the other night. Out there, the worship service. It was glorious. What a wonderful bunch of people. All getting along. It's wonderful. All the pastors were great. I like this one particular girl that got up there and started preaching. But I liked all of them, and I loved Pastor Jackie. He's a sweetheart. He's just a sweetheart. But he taught, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know how preachers are. If I was up there, I'd say, right? Come on, tell the truth, preachers. You'd be saying, this is what I thought. I'd tell everybody the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in them. And Pastor Jackie, 10 seconds later, says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. I was like, glory to God. That's awesome. But I said all that to really just say this. When it was all over, and I won't say who, but someone just let me know. They saw everything I did at that evening. I saw you. I saw you hugging everyone. I saw you. You just went around and spoke to all these people. They watched me do all that. You don't know who's watching you. So don't get grouchy at HEB. They'll catch you. Just saying. Now, in the book of Joshua, we see God leading people over into the promised land, right? But before they go, there's some work they have to do. Circumcision has to take place for the ones who weren't circumcised before. The Egyptians were not circumcised, so they didn't do that kind of thing. And we don't have time to go into the study of circumcision, but we can at another time if you want to know about it. God has had a specific reason why he used that covenant cut. It's very had to do with pride and things like that. But we're just going to talk about that they did it. They were making covenant with God, and then they were going to cross the river. Well, Joshua 5:9 says, then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I've rolled away the reproach of Israel from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now, Gilgal means rolling away. So he says he's going to roll the reproach away. So they're about to cross the river. They've cut the covenant. God says he rolled the reproach of Egypt away. But wait a minute, they've already been delivered. What's he doing? He says they're already way out there and about to enter in, and he's just now rolling the report. Yeah, because they came out of Egypt, but Egypt hadn't come out of them. Yeah. See, remember the golden calf? They'd been around that too long. That was Egypt coming out of them. So God wanted to roll the reproach out of them. We want to get the reproach out of them. They're already delivered, but they needed for Egypt to get out of them. You're free right now, church. You are free. Jesus has already paid for everything for you. Everything has been paid for you. God is working on getting you out of bondage, though. Getting bondage out of you, excuse me. You're out of bondage. He's working on getting bondage out of you. Because the little things that are left behind of what's happened in your life, your past, God is working on removing that. Some of it was the way you were raised. Some of it was the place you live. Some of it was the people you're around. Some of it might have been the religion you were in. And I'll just mention this. We won't go into this, but when you have a revelation of your covenant with God, that is a good baseline for becoming free. He will not fail you. See, this is the problem with the church. It's going to take me a little longer than I thought. The church, when something doesn't work out for them, they go back to this diabolical doctrine that maybe God wanted it to happen. Please read the Bible. You're not going to find that.
No.
You're not going to find. Yeah, Job's turkey. No. Job feared, and that came upon him. Paul's thorn. Paul's thorn, it said it was a messenger of Satan. Well, but God allowed it because he said, Grace, I give grace. What he's saying is, I'm giving you the grace to get rid of it, Paul.
Exactly.
And so Paul did. So none of that's going to hold any water. You were just taught it wrong. Grandma taught it. You bought it. Let it go.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
God is for you. He's with you. He's on your side. The devil's the thief. Now, God will use, when you get in trouble, God will use that, but he didn't cause it. Yeah. Cause and effect is in the earth. And see, here's the thing. If you'll get that in your thinking, and you'll get that he will not fail with your covenant, your faith will work.
That's good.
Otherwise, you're going to be going back and forth. Well, maybe God didn't want it. Well, maybe. People think of the silliest stuff. We better move from here because there's a lot of blue people moving in. That'll be the day. People that don't vote our way are moving in here. What are we going to, we just better move somewhere else. Are you kidding me? The witches are coming. Well, we better leave. I don't think so. What's that guy, Bobby Connor? Y'all know who Bobby Connor is? He's hilarious. A witch came into his meeting. And he just said something to him, and that witch went like Velcro and stuck on the wall. God is bigger. She got saved, I believe, in that meeting. She got saved, but you know, she's going to come in and do a little voodoo, maybe levitate a little. Yeah, she got levitated, all right. Pow! You can go online. It's true. You're like, I've never seen anything like that. Good. But if what God's going to show himself bigger than any devil around you if you'll allow him to. Some people have only seen fake news and television. They never watch anything Christian or know what's going on in the Christian world. So they, you know, I talked to people, you know, well, Brother Copeland's my father. Who's that? I'm like, well, he has the biggest ministry in the world at this point. But they don't get around to it. Isn't that interesting? Okay. That was free. We're going to start closing here. But you're, so many Christians will live in the danger of living on the other side of the river. They're not going to go into the promised land. They're going to settle for religion instead of the kingdom, instead of covenant, instead of friendship. Religion is the exact opposite of the kingdom. It's form without power. Information without experience. Outward appearance over issues of the heart. It doesn't provide an opportunity to know God, know about him. And then some people don't even know that. Some people, they don't let you have a Bible. I can't even think about that. It's cruel, it's powerless, and it's boring. Church, we cannot be willing to sacrifice the ideas of the kingdom for artificial substitutes. This present move of God is about retraining us to lock into his manifest presence and live for nothing else. Because in that manifest presence, we will have everything we need and we can stop toiling and we can get so much more done. Yeah. It's the same difference with using a shovel or a backhoe. Y'all know what a backhoe is. The men know. The digging thing. That thing is a lot faster than trying to use a shovel. I mean, you can get some things done if you'll stay in the kingdom and stay out of toil. Well, you know, Pastor, it just hasn't worked for me yet. But that's where we're taking you. You're going to get over that and get in it. You just need to get in it. You need to just take that plunge like that Nestea commercial where they fall in backwards. Just rest in God, get in God, live in the glory, talk to him, be his friend, be in his presence, and chart your course of favor. You're going to have everything you need. We don't want to just know about him. We want to know him. It's really easy now. I'm going to get on you for 5 seconds. Really easy to go, well, you know, we're in a spirit-filled church. We're in a word church. So we have faith for favor. I believe God is the healer and all those things. Well, it's not just this church that's going to do it for you. You're going to have to participate with God in your own personal life. Amen. And I'm going to close with just a couple of thoughts here. First, we were born to live in the glory of God. And it may seem strange to tell people to go after, to just go after God with this reckless abandon, and then in the same breath we're just telling people to rest. You know, God, go after God. Be reckless. Just go for him. And then, now we want you to rest. But really, it's that unique combination that defines the challenge of the hour. This is what we're called to do. We're called to be in the rest. We're called to be in his vehicle. We're called to be in Christ. We're called to be in favor. We're called to be a friend. I don't struggle to be Deb's friend. I just am. I don't struggle to be Danny's friend. I just am. I don't struggle to be Bobby's friend or Dee's friend. I just am. I am. I be. You don't have to struggle with that. You just, if you'll just be the human being instead of the human doing. I just exhort you to do that. Be still and experience God. And then secondly, there is a necessary fruit that you need if you're going to develop the capacity to sustain that passion and focus, if you're going to set up places so that you and God can have encounters. There's a particular fruit of the Spirit that you need if you're going to be able to carry through with these things, and it is the fruit of self-control. And I'll just tell you this. The only way to get the true fruit of self-control is by an intimate relationship with God. Because we don't work to produce fruit. Fruit is a force that comes out because you're connected to the vine. And so it's not a forced thing. You're not trying to make it be. Your fruit is coming out of you because you're connected. So you just connect so that fruit of self-control will end up coming out. You know, if I were to say, Jesse and Larry, they've got three beautiful children. They're happily married and life is wonderful. And they have a house and they're building onto their house. And Larry, they both work and they both take care of their property. And we could say, wow, they're disciplined. But they wouldn't say that. They would say this, because of our mutual love for one another. This is what we do. Can you see that? Because we love each other. We made a household together. And this is how we live. This is what we do. Right? Yeah. Can you sense that? So it's not a discipline. Yeah. Right. A fleshly discipline. Yeah. Yeah. There's a big difference between a flesh discipline and self-control. Yeah. Self-control is a force that comes out of you that will cause things to happen with a power other than just you yourself. It's not the latent power of the soul. It's actually a force of God, just like patience is. People are always trying to be patient. You're missing the boat. You don't try to be patient. Well, God's teaching me patience. That's why this hasn't worked out. That's the dumbest statement. People don't understand it, but they're just ignorant. They're just ignorant. They're not stupid. They're just ignorant. But what it is patience is a force. You employ it. You employ patience. You put it to work. I haven't seen this promise come yet, but I'm consistent. I'm consistent in knowing that I have it. That's what patience is. It's a force that says it's mine. I'm standing here. I'm not going to change what I think. That's what patience is. It's not you trying to figure out how to wait. Come on. Get that out of your vocabulary that you're just, God's trying to teach me patience. I'm teaching you patience right now. God is trying to teach you patience through me right now. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a force that you employ. And I'll give you a hint. So are all the other ones. Love and joy. If you'll participate with God, all of those forces will start coming out of you naturally. You'll be happy. You won't go around all grim. We can tell right away by your joy what level of relationship you have with the Lord. Everybody's looking straight ahead. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to close. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Lord, to get out of this one now. Let's roll down the line. Showing up here week after week, in here, out of here, doing what you do, needs to come not by discipline, but by the fruit of self-control. Because you love it. Because you love the people. Because you want to be here for them. Because they're your friends. Not because it's your duty to show up. It's about loving people. And as Danny said, we can't love all the people by ourselves. Amen. I want to close. This is my final closing. And now, church, no condemnation, okay? Don't take this the wrong way, okay? I notice the enemy trying to get us out of time around here. Our countdowns were late for 2 weeks. One day we didn't even have one. Now, I understand. I'm not blaming a person. We had technical difficulties. Now, they're back up. It was great today. But we started getting, our timing got off a little bit. And I'm aware of technical hiccups. I'm okay. We're all okay about it. You know, we fix it and go on. A lot of people come in late. Or they'll come, some people come in right before I'm closing, things like that. Let me say this to you. I want you to hear my heart. I understand you got to work, particularly things that happen on Wednesday night. You got to work. You come in when you can. I understand that. Okay. So don't go out of here saying, Pastor Matt, because we're not here on time. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to help us prophetically step into something here. We don't want to lose our timing because we all start shifting. I'm going to tell on myself. I'm sitting in there studying the notes that I'm supposed to go teach the prayer people at 9:20, and it's 9:23. I was late. So I noticed a habit of that starting to happen. And I thought, that is unusual that we've all... Are you with me?
Yeah.
So now you know it's not personal about any of you. We've all kind of started missing the clock a little bit. And forgive me, I'm just prophetic like that. I watch things like that. So, listen, don't not come if you can't get here on time. I'm not saying that, okay? Come. You may be working till right up at 7 o'clock, whatever, on that night, or maybe in the morning on Sunday. Still come. It's not about that. But being late, if you don't have to, is a misuse and disrespectful of other people's time. So I'm making my correction. I put on an alarm today, making sure that I didn't misuse our prayers time. And I pray that you will too. That you, if you can be on time, be on time. Practice. Practice being wherever you are. Don't clock in at work 3 minutes late. Get there early.
Amen.
Can I say that? Will y'all take that from me?
Yes, ma'am.
It's good to be on time. It's not good to just run in there at the last minute.
Right.
I've taken some correction on a few things like that myself. So I believe that it was getting to be a spiritual thing with us. But I believe we've made the correction. And I just wanted to put that out to you so that... And prayers, I apologize on that day. If you didn't hear me, I apologized, but I'm doing it again. But here's why. It's the devil's whole plan to knock God off his clock.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a part of that. So I'm not going to roll in here and take advantage of you. And like I said, don't go, well, we better not go because, well, I better quit because I can't get that. No. Take this as what I said in the beginning. Prophetically speaking, choose to enter in. Not, if you don't come, we're going to note when you're here and when. No, no, no. Listen, I actually went to a church where they passed around a clipboard to know if you were at church that day. I was like, really? We lived in Chicago. It wasn't Bill, we went to Bill Winston's church, but before that we went to another church. I was like, why do they? So People expect a lot from their people. So I would say we're pretty easygoing. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think they're bad for doing that. They want to know. And I'll say this, and we're in good time here. Y'all know who Robert Morris is?
Yeah.
So Robert Morris, when his daughter was going to get married, he asked to see the man's tithing record. What do you think about that?
Love it.
Smart, huh?
Yeah.
He wanted to see who his daughter was marrying.
Exactly.
Was he going to be the right kind of, was he going to be tied into God? Was he going to be the right person? See, I think a lot of people trip up on that. I think it's great. I think it shows great self-control to pay attention to things like that. Do we all have it down perfect? No. Do we need to forgive each other? Certainly. But in the name of Jesus, I'm just telling you right now that we're on-time people. We're on-time people, and we're not going to lose our place in getting on that path and moving forward in the things we need to move because the enemy's tried to sleight of hand here. Do you receive that?
Yeah.
Good. So you didn't take it the wrong way. Praise the Lord. Okay. No condemnation. Just be aware. Not so much as a rebuke, but a prophetic word to just step into. Now, we're friends of God. The reproach has been rolled away. We live in the kingdom, not in religion. And we have favor as a friend. We seek his face. We spend time knowing him and being known by him. Amen.
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for all of this. We thank you, Lord, that we are people who live in this kingdom. We are friends. We are favored. We're going to chart our course. We're going to use all of the fruits of the Spirit in Jesus' name. We are entering into all that you have for us by faith, Lord, through grace, not from a place of have to or a place of condemnation. We refuse that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. That's funny, Lord, but I'm... yeah. Are you sure? Okay. The Lord's trying to be funny here, but he just said this to me. The early bird gets the worm. Interpretation, Lord. Don't leave me. They don't miss out. They don't miss out. Oh yeah, thank you. You've spent your life serving God. Spent your life doing it. Think about the people who wait till the very last minute before they die to get into the kingdom. They didn't get to do all the great stuff we've got to do. They didn't get to be with each other like we've got. Think about when you roll in late, sometimes all the egg rolls are already gone. We gotta go. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.